Lord, we thank you that your word for us has been spoken for thousands of years, and that you still speak to us about your Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came to show us the Father, that when we look at you, we look at the Father, and Holy Spirit, that you make all of this alive. I pray, Holy Spirit, that as we come to continue to worship and to respond to the word, you inspired scriptures, you inspired that are God-breathed, that we would have not just ears to hear and eyes to see Jesus, but that we would have hearts that are good soil for the seed that is incorruptible. I pray that what I say would be according to what you want to say, and what is not according to that would be forgotten. In your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're looking at treasures in heaven this morning. And I got that picture and that just made me chuckle. So I thought I'm going to take that as a backdrop. It looks like, I'm not sure if it's an older Jack and the Beanstalk or, yeah, he just looks like he's trying to take either treasure up to heaven or he's trying to get treasure down from heaven. I'm going to go with treasure down from heaven because it's going to fit my narrative. But it's a picture you can use. Maybe it'll burn something into your memory and maybe you'll have a little laugh. We're looking at Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21 this morning. Let's first read it together. Matthew 6, verse 19. This is Jesus speaking in the Sermon on the Mount. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that's the scripture for today. I want to start with a riddle. I am terrible at riddles. Can I just, if you ask me a riddle, I will not get it. The moment you start talking a riddle, I don't know, there's something wrong with my imagination or something. But I want to start with a riddle. It's a riddle by Gollum in The Hobbit. Who's ready? This thing, all things devours. Birds, beasts, trees, flowers. Gnaws iron, bites steel, grinds hard stones to meal, slays kings, ruins towns, and beats high mountain down. Who wants to wager the answer to the riddle? We've got a hand there. Udo? Time. Wasn't a hard one. Even I got this one. Time. And if we're looking at today's scripture, I think one of the things that we need to be reminded of why Jesus says not to lay up treasures on earth is because on this earth things are devoured, slain, ruined, beaten down. But let's first talk about what he is not saying when he is talking about treasures in heaven. I think it's important to say Jesus is not saying you can earn your way into heaven with treasures. That would be contrary to the revelation of Scripture about salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So that's not what he's saying. He's also not saying, well, if it's got nothing to do with treasures on earth, you should just be lazy and gods water or gods akker. That would once again be contrary to the revelation of Scripture. It says, he who does not work does not eat. Right? Then again, he's not saying that we should now all go live like monks and be ascetics and punish the flesh the whole time. He gives us all good things to enjoy. So that is not what he is saying here. What is he then talking about? He's talking about one of these things. We looked a while ago at in one of the sermons, I quoted John Wesley, who had this frustration that wherever he preached the gospel, something would happen. People would turn from being barflies, for instance, and then they would have these lives that are industrious, and then they would get distracted. And so Jesus here, I believe, he's talking about this life we live, this pursuit, what we should be careful of. He's warning us in these scriptures And we're looking at just at these this morning. The other, you know, what follows the eye is a lamp. And then later he talks about you cannot serve God and money. We'll do that. We'll start with that next week. But here he is talking about specifically things on earth that the moth and the rust and the thief have an impact on. So, what is treasure? See, he says here, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. And that can be translated, do not treasure up for yourselves treasure on earth. And the word treasure is a very interesting one. It's very interesting because it has this implication. Okay? It has this implication for us. What is a treasure? And at that time, treasure would be more something physical. Our world has changed, but our approach to treasure has somewhat stayed the same. Treasure would be something that you would receive your status from, or your security in. And Christ is saying here, when something, and he uses examples here, these are not the only examples that there are. In their narrative at the time, these were very relevant examples. Moth would be, your clothing would be chowed by the moth. Rust, it's also translated, the worm will eat. And it's speaking about things that will be chowed by the rust or the worm that you store up. And then obviously the thief can come and steal. In those days, the houses would have soft mud walls and you'd bury the family treasure because there was no bank. And the family treasure would be hidden under the floor and you'd wake up one morning with a new tunnel. Yes. And so those are the examples that Christ uses, but he's pointing to the earth. He's saying there are things on the earth that we must be careful not to find our status and our security in. And he makes it clear to us why. Because he says, not where your heart is, your treasure will be, but where your treasure is, your heart will be. Right? Where your treasure is, your heart will be. And if your treasure is in the things that give you status in life, the clothing, or the possessions, or the things that people can steal. You know, we don't necessarily have these things buried in our homes anymore unless you have a farm and you have a couch. Back on track. That's why I got notes today. Back on track. But we have a danger. You know what gets stolen? You will have an encounter, you'll have a moment, you'll have a memory, you'll post it on media, it'll be great, and everybody will celebrate it, and the next day someone posts something else, and they have stolen your joy. They have stolen your moment. You know, we build our security, our identity, and our status on these things that we put out there and people can then take away or just move along from. This is what we have. You know, back then they didn't have Facebook, or I think Facebook is no longer a thing. Yopi, is it still a thing? Sort of, a little bit. Be careful to build your status and your security on something. And you know what? We go, oh, no, I'm not doing that, Craig. You know, and once again, Jesus is not saying no, that treasure is evil. He's saying treasure that gives you status, that gives you security, has this problem. It will be eaten. It will lose its shine. And then what happens? Your heart, if your treasure is on earth, and therefore your heart is on earth, and it wears. What is he saying? What's going to happen to your heart? You're going to have this trouble, as the moth eats or the rust destroys. Because your heart is not just your feelings. Your heart in the ancient, in the Near East where he was preaching, your heart meant your identity and your spiritual life. So when your treasure is on earth, your identity in life is in that status, that security, and it gets charred, your identity and your spiritual life becomes reduced. It's not life, it's death. You know, you're not a your identity is in whatever you have, and it gets charred. I remember my friend Dion told me the story. He says someone, when he was a younger man, gave him this advice. Once in his life, he should buy a car, a brand new car, a black one. It's a black car, hey, Dion? You should buy a black car on credit. Beautiful, new, flashy. And then you drive in that thing, and you feel like the man. And then the installment goes off, but it's fine because you feel like the man. And then the next month, installment goes off, but the car's still shiny. And then one day, you get in that car, and you turn the ignition. Something sounds a little different. You sit on that seat, and just like there's a spring where there wasn't previously. And you drive out the driveway, and it just doesn't feel the same anymore. There's that sound that just tick, 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 tick. But the installment goes off again. And the installment goes off again. And then we learn this lesson, the hard one, that moth and rust destroys and thieves break in and steal. And if your status and your security is in what people see, well, then you're going to suffer harm in your identity. Right? You're going to suffer loss. You're going to suffer loss in your life. And you say to me, no, that's not what I do. You know what? Okay. Let's just test that quickly. Let's test that. You say, no, I do not treasure on earth. I do not build my security and my status on that. Do you maybe treat other people that way? You know, if they do not dress a certain way, or they do not have a certain thing, they do not have a certain status, then you're also one who lays treasures on earth. Your interaction with others also reveals to yourself where your treasure is. If we do not have to do with those who do not dress like us, if we do not have to do with those who do not have the same possessions, who do not have the same pastimes, then we actually treasure on earth our interactions with those who are just like us more than our interactions with those whom he has redeemed. And when that is where our treasure is, moth and rust and thieves, there will be destruction and there will be stealing. And there will be loss. It's tough. It's tough, but it's a healthy tough. It's a healthy tough. We are to have a perspective on everything that we have been granted, everything we have been given. We are to have an open hand. This does not determine my status. This does not determine my security. This is what he's talking about here. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Right? Be productive by all means, just not laying it up for yourselves. This is tough because, like, in our capitalist Western system, the whole pursuit is laying up treasures for myself so that I can retire. Right? This is a tough one. Laying up for yourselves treasures on earth. And they, once again, Jesus is not saying don't be wise. He's saying do not get your status, do not get your security from that which moth and rust can destroy and the Bitcoin price can steal. You say to me, but then how are we to have treasures in heaven? Because he says here to us, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. What is treasure in heaven? Where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. I want to go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Paul writing to the Colossian church, it struggles with many things. I don't believe he planted the Colossian church. That's not the reason they were struggling with many things. He planted the Corinthian church. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see what he's done here? You see where Paul has directed our gaze. He starts by saying he wants their hearts to be encouraged. You know that word encouraged, it's parakaleo, it is the verb for the word that is used to describe the Holy Spirit, the parakletos. It's amazing for me that he starts with saying, before we get to the rest, he says, I want your hearts. And remember I said your heart here represents your identity and your spiritual life. I want that to be encouraged, that doing word, that verb. That's encouraged by the Holy Spirit. Right? He wants us to be encouraged by the Holy Spirit and to be knit together in love. This is in the family, to be knit together in a sacrificial love, the love of Christ, the love that gives, because it is better to give than to receive, and the love that sacrifices for one another, and being knit together in love to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding. He's saying here, in this way, as the Holy Spirit is your encourager walking with you, as there is more of Him at you, for you today, there's always more of the Holy Spirit. We can know Him truly. We'll never know Him fully in this life. There's always more of Him to encourage us. And as we walk together, being knit together in sacrificial love for one another, you will grow in your assurance of understanding. That's the word for maturity. You'll grow in maturity and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. Early in Colossians, he says, this is God's mystery revealed. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he comes back, he circles back here. He says, as we are encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and as we are walking together in love, and we grow in maturity, and we receive the knowledge of Christ. Christ in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory, together. In Him, in whom is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We need wisdom and knowledge in this life. Wisdom here is knowing what's going on. Knowledge is what it is. Wisdom is knowing what to do. Knowledge, why we do it. And we need to grow and we need to take hold of these treasures. These are given to us. We need to receive them, take hold of them. In Christ, we receive all wisdom and knowledge that we need. Every time. And so the invitation is, doesn't matter what your status is, doesn't matter what your Facebook feed looks like, doesn't matter what your possessions are, doesn't matter how far the rust has gone. The invitation to us all is, there is more of Christ and His wisdom and knowledge available as treasure for us in this life. He is our treasure in heaven that we can take hold of now, every day, together, as we walk, as we grow, and as we are encouraged by the Holy Spirit daily, as there's more of Him, there is always more of Him. And then, as we walk in love with one another, we receive this wisdom, this knowledge in Christ, Christ in us. Treasure in heaven. But doesn't stop there. You say to me, well, it's all very good and well, but how do I get that? How do I become that little guy that's now climbing that tree? How do I get hold of that? Right? Do I need to work? Do I need to take? What do I need to do? What do I need to give? Where do I need to pay? How much? What's the percentage? I want to take you to a scripture that for me just makes this so easy, so expensive, but so free. It's 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you by His poverty might become rich. It's not talking about treasure on earth. He's talking about treasure in heaven. Christ, who was rich in heaven, there where there is no sin or death or destruction, and the angels all know who he is. He, at the Father's bidding, he leaves for our sake. He becomes poor, born into this box that we are born in, living, sleeping, eating, breathing. He leaves the throne all the way to come to the throne of the cross, where he became poor. Did not have clothing for a moth to eat. The nails may have had rust on them. He did not have his life taken. He gave it up for us. And so here we have him who became poor, so that us, you, by his poverty, might become rich. No, this is not talking about treasures on earth. He's saying, you may become rich in him. That you may have in this life an identity and a life that is not linked or influenced by the moth and the rust and the thieves of this life. It is over and it is independent of all that may happen to us and with us. Because in him we have become rich in his identity, in his life. By laying all of ours on him at that cross, we receive all of his. And that mystery is ours to discover and to take hold of for the rest of our lives. Christ in us, the hope of glory. To receive from him wisdom and knowledge. True treasures. I was privileged, and on Thursday I teach at the school year sometimes, and they gave me a voucher for Arabella, which is amazing. It was so much fun. I had this voucher, and we kind of ended up accidentally. I was struggling with the sermon, so the Lord just took me out of it and sent us to Arabella, which was really fun. Learned a few things there. Learned that my daughter likes it when the grass is cut really neat. And you know what? We were walking around there, and we were sort of like these outsiders that come in. It was beautiful. And you know what struck me? It was really tough. We were walking, and everyone was smiling. We were laughing, having a good time, walking, seeing the pools, nice, sitting down and sort of, you know, ordering. And I was encountering all these people that were there, but I just had this impression that so many of them, and I'm not saying all of them, I wasn't sitting there like judging, like, hey, what are these people doing here? But this was my takeaway. We were sitting laughing and chuckling and people were looking at us sometimes, but there were a lot of sad faces there. And I felt like, man, these people paid real good money to be here. I don't know, maybe it was just a long day in Arabella. I don't know what happened there. I don't know, maybe the spa wasn't bubbling the way it was supposed to bubble or something. But I went away with this impression. I said to my family, you know, it was amazing. It was such a privilege just to enjoy this thing in life, and it was a free gift. But everybody actually just looked so sad to be spending their money there. You know what? When we build our status and our security on things and then we go and spend it, we think it's going to give us identity. We think it's going to give us purpose. We think so. But you know what? We're going to walk away less. And then we're like, okay, well, at least if I take the photo from this angle, it looks like I had fun. But, you know, you have that memory. You know, you sat there and you were like, man, I'm just sad. I'm so down. Because if we build our identity on that status, on that security, then that is going to be our experience. But here is the invitation. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Take hold of that which is truly life, which is given to us at great cost freely to us. Receive in Christ an identity and a life. Receive in Christ. What does he give us? When our treasures are in heaven, what becomes our status? It's not a trick question, child of God. When our treasure is in heaven, what becomes our security? Our Father is in heaven. If that is your treasure, then your identity and your life is secure no matter what happens in this life, no matter what comes across your path, no matter how many moths there are or how close to the sea you live. It has no impact because moth and the rust and the thief cannot impact your identity as a child of God and your security that He is your Father. And so maybe this morning I want to, maybe you encountered something, you realized, oh my chutz, my treasure is actually here on earth. You know what? That list was to help us. This temptation while we are here is going to be constant. There may be things that happen in this life that are good things, and we should celebrate that, enjoy it. It's great. Just do not make that your treasure on earth. Don't lay it up for yourself. It will not satisfy, it cannot. That which is on earth cannot give life. And so maybe that was your experience this morning. You realize, you know what, I've been building my status and my security on things. Maybe it's on my children and their performance. Maybe it's on my relationships. Maybe it's on my feed. Maybe it's on the car I drive. Maybe it's on the car I don't drive that I want to drive. All these things. Maybe I'm treating people according to my perception of status and worth. And maybe that is my experience. Maybe I'm confronted with that this morning. You know what? Here's the good news. If that was something that came up for you, realized, oh my goodness, there is treasure on earth that I'm laying up for myself. Here's the good news. You can confess that to the Lord. You repent of that. Repentance towards God, faith in Jesus Christ. And you receive from Him Jesus Christ. Because He has freely given so that we can freely receive. No, you don't have to pay. No, you don't have to perform. This is the invitation. So I want to ask us, let's turn to one another in this moment as we finish off this service. Maybe there's something that struck you and there was something that you went, oh, that was a treasure. And you now I see I was getting status or security from that. And I just, now I see in my identity, I have this fear the whole time. Confess that to the Lord. Let's turn to one another. 2 by 2, 3 by 3. Let's confess that to the Lord. Turn from that. Yes. Turn to one another. It's not the first time we do this, people. I want to ask you, as you confess that, say, Lord, here's my confession. This thing on earth has become a treasure that's given me status and security. As you confess that, repent of it and receive from Him. Say, I receive Christ in me, the hope of glory. Okay, so this can carry on in the week. I want to encourage you to let this word soak in and to let it confront you in the week again, to let it just speak to you again, to let it remind you again every time that you may be laying up a treasure on earth, that you should rather be laying up a treasure in heaven, and that there may be healing in your identity. And that there may be life, true spiritual life. So I want to pray for us. Father, as we have come and we've brought before you, we've been confronted by your word, as it has washed us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill us. Fill us with Christ. That we can hear, like the scripture says, that we can be knit together in love and reach the full assurance, understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. And so I pray, Father, as you have come to expose, but also to relieve of that which you expose, as you want to bring healing, you want to bring identity as a child of God and security in your character in these areas. Lord, I pray for us as we go from this place, that we would let that word continue to minister, that we will find our status in you, Lord Jesus, that we will find our security in you, Father, and Holy Spirit, that you would empower us to take hold of, to receive every treasure that is in Christ until he comes back. In Jesus' name, amen. If you will stand with me. I want to end with this blessing, and once I've prayed it over you and said amen, you're welcome to go and grab a cup of coffee. If you still want to pray with someone, especially someone you just spoke to, by all means, then just sit down again and continue the conversation, or grab someone that before they walk away, let them sit with you. Or you can come to the front. There will be some of the small group leaders and intercessors to pray with you. But let me pray this. Pray, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And everybody says, Amen. Amen.